Are you ready to reach the mountaintop of your life? Do you want to turn your dreams into your reality? If that sounds like you, then welcome to the Mountaintop Motivation Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mountaintop Motivation Podcast. Today we are here with Paul Casey. Paul, what a pleasure to be here with you. To start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Jazz to be here with you, Jake. Yes, my name is Paul Casey. I own a business called Growing Forward Services. So it is equipping and coaching leaders and teams to spark breakthrough success. That's my mission statement. I do that through one-to-one leadership coaching, through group coaching, through seminars and workshops on soft skills, and facilitation of things like strategic planning retreats, relationship building retreats, or mastermind groups.
Love that. Growing Forward, where did you, like, I'm always excited about where someone comes up with a name for a brand when they don't just be Paul Casey. Because yes, you could just be, well, this is Paul Casey Consulting, but you created a brand, Growing Forward. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means to me the difference between like therapy and coaching. You know, therapy is a little bit more back focused. We're going to try to get healing at something that was broken in the past so that it doesn't affect us now. Where coaching is a lot more forward focused. So my goal was to help people that are relatively healthy. We all have our chinks in the armor, but people have a pretty stable foundation and want more. They want to really move forward with goals and a powering vision for their life, for their teams, for their organization. And I think I heard the term growing forward, you know, that someone had put in a headline once, and I went, ooh, I really like that because growth is one of my top three core values. And then forward is this, it's my whole life is this forward focus and putting those together. I wonder if anybody has that. You know, I Googled it and looked to see if anybody had that as their business name. And I thought, I'm going to go with that.
Love that. You mentioned something there. This is for people who want more out of life. And I have noticed that there are some people who just don't. I guess that surprises me. Mm-hmm. When I realize that there actually are people who don't want more out of life, who really are complacent with what, and I don't even, me saying complacent makes it sound like I'm being derogatory to them. And I don't want to say that. They're content with the life that they have. I thought everyone didn't want to be stuck in that 9-to-5. To me, it's prison, but to some people, it's literally a dream, and that's great. And even then, I shouldn't be disparaging to the 9-to-5 either, because to some people, they want to be in that corporate space and in that team and climb that ladder. And they're excited about that. So good for them. But what do you think the difference is? Why is it that some people want more?
Yeah, there's an inner hunger, I think, in a fraction of the population. Yeah. And just to go back to what you said, we don't want to be disparaging, because I think everyone should try to find purpose in their work, right? Yes. That they should see their work as vocation, as a calling. And if it isn't to make $1 million, if it isn't to become a VP or in the C-suite, great, because you found purpose and calling wherever you're at. So yeah, we don't want to be disparaging. Leaders, I think, are a different breed. I think they are action-oriented. They want to take new ground. They want to change the world, you know, in some way and make a bigger difference. And so there's just some inner fire in a leader, usually an entrepreneur as well, that just says, I want to take the next hill. I want to maximize every second on this planet and impact as many people as possible. It's hard to put a finger on that, you know, but that's sort of that inner fire that I've seen.
That thing you talked about, I want to take the next hill. I think that's something with entrepreneurs, that's something with leaders, that's something with athletes, that's something with high achievers. It does not matter what the market is. There is a difference between someone who is just looking to get by versus someone who just wants to take that next hill, no matter what. They want to keep going. Do you think that that's something that is nature or nurture? Something we're just born with? That's just how we're born? Or do you think that's something that is brought to us through experience?
Yes.
I agree. I didn't give you a third option on purpose, because the easy option would be both. But yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but sure. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Sure. Where does this come
from? Sure. And I love talking about personality styles and behavioral styles and assessment tools, you know, things that I give my clients, because that's the inbred stuff that comes, that I believe we have a creator, you know, and God just sort of, you know, put that in the brownies, each one of us, some of those things. So there is some inbred stuff, but then I think it really does involve how you were raised, you know, that family of origin stuff. Like my mom was a extremely driven individual. She was a teacher and she was always busy, and she was always, you know, doing bulletin boards and grading papers and looking through creative magazines to come up with new ideas to use in her classroom. She always pushed me to be like number one and everything, to get the blue ribbon, you know. And there's some negative stuff that I have to deal with as a result of that too. Perfectionism and workaholism, you know, comes with that. But then there's also this drive that's like, okay, I've got a responsibility to make this world a better place. And now I have a high capability or capacity to do that. So I got to do it. And so I'm driven by that inner fire.
Yeah, I think it's something I've been looking at this a lot, and looking at what drives us. It's something I'm obsessed with, because people often ask the question, how do I find more drive? How do I find more motivation? How do I find that? Like we were just talking about before, the term motivation is grossly misused, where motivation is a neutral term. It's just why we do what we do. And I think what people really mean is, how do I get myself to do the things I say that I want to do? One thing I notice is that a lot of people will say they want one thing, but their actions don't show that they want that thing. You as a coach, what would you say to someone who is coming to you saying, I want such and such goal, whatever that particular goal is, but my actions are not taking me there? How do you take that coaching session? What do you do with that person?
There's a couple directions I might go with that person. One would be, our beliefs drive our behaviors. So we've got to get, if somebody's saying, I want this, but they're not doing it, I would start questioning the belief. And I don't mean questioning like saying, I don't really think you believe that, but I would start probing for what is that thing inside of them that seems aspirational. Like, I really want that. I want to be that. I want to do that. I want that success, but I'm not committed to it. So I would try to tap into what their belief system is first. Another thing that might be hindering that would be a limiting belief. So I would try to ask enough questions to try to figure out, what is that self-talk? Again, it ties back to belief, but what is that thing that's holding them back that says, like, I don't deserve this, or I'm not an attractive person, or no one's going to choose me, or anything I try is going to just crumble anyways, and figure out, what is that limiting belief? What's the consequence of that? And then what is a replacement truth that we can literally inject and say out loud and start believing into, to start flipping the turtle?
Flipping the turtle. Let's go into that. Tell me what that means. I have never heard that statement. That sounds like there's a lot more. That's a term that I'm just missing. So tell me about that.
But one of my clients uses this term. And so you think of a turtle on its back, right? Completely yeah. Helpless. And you know, for us as humans, then, to use that metaphor of, that's the victim mentality. Like, here I am on my back, can't do anything about it. This always happens to me. Life sucks, you know, and I guess this is my lot in life. when we have a chance though to sort of flip that turtle in our mind, that mindset, to say like, no, I have control over this. I can make a choice today. It's intentional. I could take a baby step today to now create my own life. I am not a victim.
Yeah, I like that, because that's a great visual to see that turtle who just can't move, is stuck on its back. And I think that's a really great way to look at it. Paul, I want to know about your entrepreneurial journey. You are one of the crazy ones that made the decision to leave the traditional world and go for it on your own. To some people, this is the scariest thing that they could possibly do. So I want to know your story about how that came to be, and also why it came to be.
Yeah, so I was a fifth grade teacher. Then I became a vice principal at an early age, and then an elementary school principal. And then after doing that for many years, I went over to the church side of things, became a family pastor, so like a parenting educator through that, did marriage and family, more like pastoral counseling. I'm not a licensed counselor, but did some of that, officiated weddings, then became an executive pastor, which is sort of like being a principal, but at a church, budgets, buildings, chief of staff, gaining more experience in each leadership position, but in each one, realizing there was a lid on me. There was a lid on my growth. Like there was a board or a boss or a system that kept me from really busting through the ceiling. And this was super frustrating for me. It became a pattern in each one of those jobs that I would get restless at a certain point along the way, where I would push on my leadership and they would be like, no, this is the way we've always done it, or some other phrase that just drove me, you know, crazy. But you just need to sort of pipe down, Paul, and just sort of stay within the system. And that really came up against a value that I didn't even know I had, some kind of entrepreneurial value that was like, no, like the sky's the limit. Like let's try something new. Let's create. Let's innovate. Let's make everything 1% better. Let's just do something like that. And they'd be like, no, you're just gonna be disappointed, you know, if you keep doing that. And so I had to resign from each job. And then I realized maybe I have to work for myself. My wife sort of helped me along with this. Maybe you need to work for yourself on that. So I started the dream job of Growing Forward Services while I had the day job. And started coaching. I was already speaking for private school teacher conventions, and I was already getting a lot of fulfillment from giving people practical ideas they could use in their classroom. And so I learned about coaching. It was a little woo-woo at first, like, it's life coaching. And then I realized you can niche in it. And I thought leaders are my niche. And then I thought if I add team building to this, and facilitation, maybe a three-legged stool, I could actually make a living. I didn't think I could with any one of those elements. So in 2015, I decided I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to go all in entrepreneurship. Very scary. The first 6 months, like you said, were one of the crazy ones on that. My wife, after the 6 months, said, I don't know if we should be doing this, because I only made like $1,200 that month, you know, and that wasn't enough to support a family. And I said, oh, just give it a little bit more time. I really believe that if we just give it, I'm networking the heck out of this town. I'm hoping something will break through. And it did. In July of that year, I got my first big client, a team building. People were booking coaching sessions. Then I got an anchor client, a national laboratory nearby here. And now they continue to feed me leaders to be able to coach. And then I thought, I'm okay. And so from then on, every year has been growth.
One of the things I really liked was hearing that you made a decision and then thought about this like an actual career. I think that a lot of people go into business almost, they go in like a hobby. They go, oh, if it happens, great. If it this, great. But you just said, okay, how am I going to be strategic about this? I'm going to create these streams of income. Okay, I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I think that comes from a sense of responsibility. At least that's my perspective. I hear people saying, how do you stay motivated, Jake, to keep doing the work? How do you stick with it? You're always doing something. How do you stick with it? And, you know, having the responsibility of a family
mm-hmm.
just kind of makes you make that decision and say, I'm going to figure it out, or I'm going to stay here, but this is my role. This is my job. I'd like to go a little bit deeper into your strategy, thinking about it in a pragmatic, here's how I'm going to make the money. Was there some kind of algorithm you were using? Was there some kind of charts? What were you doing? What was the mechanics of that as you were thinking about all the different revenue streams building this business?
Yeah, and boy, I wish I had a more articulate answer for you on this. It was a lot of throwing Jell-O at the wall and see what stuck. So I'm an insatiable learner. You know, it's one of my strength finder top five is a learner. So I'm reading about how to be the most effective coach and how to build a coaching business. At the same time, I'm reading about how to be a professional speaker and how to build a speaking business. So I'm getting all this information. I'm meeting with people who are doing what I want to be doing and interviewing them. Some of them, by the way, couldn't even remember their first year. I mean, they had moved so far along that they forgot about the struggle of year one and two. So I was looking for people that would be really honest, which is what you're asking me about today. Like, be really honest about the struggle. Be honest about the lumps that you took at the beginning and then what were seeds that actually grew. So I was just very intentional about learning and seeing what actually stuck, and then I would pursue that. I even started a business, a sub-business that was for those that got a DUI for the first time. It was a jail alternative program because a local prosecutor said, this is what we need in our community. There's one in Spokane. And I thought, I could do that. And so I actually started for a while. It only lasted like 6 months. There was so many rules and regs with it that it was more discouraging than it was encouraging. But I literally was trying all different methods to see what stuck.
When I think that's an important methodology as well. People miss that, but there's so much trial and error in business. Unfortunately, I don't want to say all people, but I will say that people who do not succeed in business and are just frustrated with it, what they are looking for is a step-by-step, foolproof, just do this, plug and play, and then it works, and that's what it is. But that doesn't exist. Some people say, oh, well, that's a franchise. No, it's not. Even that. There's so much trial and error involved. And what I'm noticing your secret to success here is you made a decision of what you are going to do. And then you said, I don't care what the path is. I'm going to try things until I get to where I want to be. And that right there is the formula that every successful person has. Even if they have a very specific path, there's going to be nuances with it. I always say this about any coaching program. Even if you follow the coaching program to a T, you say the same words, you copy, you do exactly the same thing. There's the biggest variable. The biggest variable is it's you and not them. And you're different than they are. And because of that, not everything is going to work the exact same way. And it's going to be different. And so you were able to stick with it and keep going. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, on the process of trial and error and how success comes from that, from just moving forward and moving forward.
Yeah, I've always been a person who has picked and chosen great ideas from other successful people and then customized it or transferred the concept to my life, my business. So when I was a school principal, I think I visited 55 different other schools while I was being a principal, and I would steal good ideas. Steal like an artist, right? I would steal ideas and bring those back to my school. But of course, I had to then make it custom fit our vision, our values at our school, because I wanted it to be the best school in the world. I know I had such childlike enthusiasm for it, but I really did. I really wanted it to be the best. but I knew I couldn't like be like just like that school. I had to be take an idea, customize it to what we have. So now I do that even today. So I read lots of books on entrepreneurship and on leadership. And like you said, there are a lot of coaching programs out there. There are a lot of podcasts to grab ideas. And I'm just listening for the one idea that I can customize that I think could turn into fruit. If I plant that seed, it could turn into fruit. And then I just give it a try. I don't put all my eggs in that basket. I don't overinvest in the outcome. I'm just going to give it a try and see if it produces fruit.
That's really cool. That the not being attached to the outcome. You try something, see if it produces fruit. So there's a big difference there, because sometimes I say like, hey, look, don't be a dabbler. Like everything is nuance, right? You know, everything right. is nuance. So I say, don't be a dabbler. But then at the same time, someone says, well, what I do is I'm not really attached to the process. I try something, see if it produces fruit. And then if it does, great. And if it doesn't, I don't. But I think that there's a big difference in that nuance. There's the dabbler does something and they're looking for overnight success. That what you're talking about is doing something and looking at, is there evidence of fruit coming? Because that beginning of that fruit, it's not like you have a tree instantly. My sister and brother-in-law in Arizona, they have 300 citrus trees. They have a big 5-acre property, and they've planted 300 citrus trees. It's taken like 6 years for them to give real, fruit. And then now, like they're nowhere close to full grown. And it's taken that time, but at the beginning, okay, it's starting to get little bits of fruit. It's starting to do a little bit. There's a process moving forward. And now it's great. You walk around their property and you can pick, you know, all sorts of this orange, this tangerine, this all sorts of different kind of things. And it's delicious and it's fun. But as they grow bigger and bigger, they're going to be these giant trees and they're going to have this kind of oasis in this desert. Because their whole goal with these is that the whole property is covered with a treetop shade, which is so rare in that place. But that's years in the making. But if they didn't have any evidence of fruit after 2 years, they would have said, something's wrong here. I need to do something different. And that's not dabbling, you know, that is a process. And I think that what you're showing is a process of success.
You're actually, just to back that up, I think Tony Robbins says most people dabble their way through life. They don't concentrate their energy and focus to be able to see success. And don't get me wrong, I have dabbled plenty. And even now I've hired someone to a virtual assistant to try to help me with my systems, because I have thrown a lot of things out there and now I need to rein some of those things in. So, but it is a process.
Yes, 100%. What is your advice for someone starting in business? They're fed up. You know, that's what your story was. You were fed up with, I'm being put in this box and I can't grow anymore. There's no more growing forward for me. I want to keep moving forward. And so you were fed up and you moved forward. There's a lot of people who feel that way, but they stay in that situation because they have fear and they don't want to move forward and move past it. What's your advice for someone who says, yeah, that sounds great, but I just have all this fear?
Well, nothing changes if nothing changes. Love that quote. So if you just sit in your fear, it just magnifies that. And it's almost like you're putting on the handcuffs every morning. And so you're just going to stay there. So action, I think, overcomes fear. So you're going to have to take some action to at least explore what other options do you have. So that's where the learning kicks in. You've got to interview people that are doing some things that are exciting to you. You've got to listen to podcasts and read some books to show. You know, I think what that does, even though sometimes they're just like, wow, and I went to $5 million within like 2 years. Okay, that may not be your story, but you can at least take some nuggets from their story that could say, okay, but I know I can do this. I could take step one. I can start coming up with a business plan of what might work. I can reconnect to my why, or what difference I want to make in the world. Those are all like little action steps while you're still doing the day job that are going to help you move toward the dream job.
Yes. And I think hearing that, when you are talking about that, just taking those steps forward, I think that that is really where success comes from. As you were sharing that story about maybe your story isn't the, you've been in this for a couple of years, now you're making $5 million. If I can boil down the biggest difference I see in those who succeed and those who don't, it's how they respond to someone else's good news. I can immediately see, and I notice this in my coaching clients. When I hear someone say, let's say that someone just shared a big success that they had, and it's in a group coaching program. If on the next time I get on a one-on-one call, if that person says, well, I heard about their success, and now I feel so disappointed and discouraged because I'm not doing it, that person is going to struggle until they change that mindset. Then the other person who says, wow, that's amazing that they were able to do that, I got to find out exactly what they're doing that I'm not, because obviously they're doing something different and I want to go find out what it is, almost like a detective. That person is going to succeed. And if I can boil it down to that one thing, if you know, someone listening right now, if you want to know what the difference is between those who succeed and those who don't, I believe it's how you respond to someone else's good news. And if you respond poorly to other people's good news, it doesn't mean you're doomed. It doesn't mean it's over, but it means you got to change that before you can get to success. What do you think about that, Paul?
Absolutely. And one of my business core values is celebration. And that goes exactly to there. Like with every client, whether it's group, individual, facilitation, it's celebrating the wins, because that is buoyant. It helps us say we're making a difference here. We've got momentum. And I get a chance to be on the front lines with them and celebrate their wins. Yes, once in a while, I struggle with OCD, which is obsessive comparison disorder, right? Different kind of OCD. And that's when you just start going like, oh, I'm not all that in a bag of chips, you know? But you're right. It's very quickly, you have to just change your mindset and go, way to go. Like I have another speaker friend, when I just called him yesterday to just say, what are your wins? And he's like, I'm going to talk for this group. I'm going to talk for this group. And I'm just like so happy for him. And there wasn't even a twinge this time of like, oh, but I didn't get those gigs. Right. I was just like, no, I am all in the moment with that person celebrating his wins. The pie is big enough for all of us to succeed. So, hey, why not cheerlead each other?
Yes, that's right. And I love that OCD, obsessive comparison disorder. I had another interview that referred to it as comparisonitis, and how that is the biggest thing that can challenge us and hold us back. So I think that those are so important to look at. A couple more questions for you, Paul. Before we get into those questions, what's the best way for people to learn more about you and what you do?
Thank you, Jake. So all things Growing Forward Services are at growingforwardservices.net, growingforwardservices.net. On social media, Paul D. Casey on LinkedIn. Don't go to Paul Casey because he's a professional golfer and I'm just a duffer. So Paul D. Casey on LinkedIn and Growing Forward Services on Instagram and Facebook.
Now I got to see it. I don't know that much about golf. Is Paul Casey is he a successful pro golfer?
Yeah.
A big deal, or is he kind of a up and comer?
He's always near the top. He's probably a top 40. Top 50 golfer out there. I don't know if he still is, but he was a few years ago.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. Do you get compared to him often?
Only when I go to the golf course. They're like, ooh, we've got a celebrity with us today. And I'm like, no, I'm just the duffer.
They just see it on the
screen.
Yeah. On the screen, or see it on the reservation. So I have two different friends. Well, I have more friends than that. It's not just
good,
two.
Good,
I do have more. But I have a friend, one of my best friends from high school. His name is Mike Pence. He's not that Mike Pence. I don't, I'm not that old. I was not a classmate with the former vice president. And then I have another friend, a family friend, who is named Les Brown. It's just, oh, wow. It's just funny to have those kind of things when it's the exact same name. Like, that's really funny. Also, there's a bunch of other Jake Ballantynes out there that I've seen on, on Instagram and on TikTok and things like that. And they got to all be mad at me. They got, all of them got to be like, dude, this, this Jake Ballantyne guy, he's taken up, you know, the first four pages on Google. If any of them want to do anything, they just can't do it. They can't get the traction. So what's your advice for a new coach or consultant starting out? We got a lot of aspiring coaches and consultants. What's your advice there?
I'm going to say, and I'm not a great model of this yet, but I'm still working toward it, is you've got to find a niche within the coaching consulting world. Like, if you just say you're a life coach, you know, the average life coach makes, I think, $20,000 a year, which isn't that much. So you don't want to just be this generalist. You want to actually niche in an area, because the riches are in the niches, they say. And so you want people to go vertical with you in that area, so you become even stronger in the advice that you can give, and the relevance and the relatability when you go deeper into one niche of your field. So that would be a number one tip I would give.
And I would disagree with you saying that you're a bad example of that, because you have niched into this corporate space, leadership training. Sure, there's always further niche that you can do, but I look at you as someone who is very niche within that leadership space. And so I think you're doing a great job of that. And I think that's a big part of your success. I think if you did all the same things, if you did all the same things that you did and went to all those networking events, gone to all the, you know, did all that kind of stuff, and you went there and said, I'm a coach, and they said, of what? What is it? Oh, you know, I help you live life better. It wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Right.
It wouldn't have gone anywhere. So I think that you're definitely a great example of that. Last question I want to end on here. Here at the Mountaintop Motivation Podcast, we talk about the mountaintop being that ultimate vision for life. What does the mountaintop mean to you? Now, you can take this one of two ways. You can either take this as, this is what I want as my ultimate vision, my mountaintop. Or if you were talking about what the mountaintop should mean or could mean for someone else, what does that mean? What is a mountaintop life to you, Paul Casey?
You know, it's living out my personal mission statement would be my mountaintop. So my mission statement is to add value to people through equipping, encouraging words, servant leader actions, and a contagious passion to honor God with my life. If I live that out, that is my definition of success. It's something I'm always shooting for, though I may not actually reach the mountain of anything in that mission statement. I'm always climbing toward it. So I feel fulfilled when I'm doing any element of that mission statement. And it's tied to my values, my strengths, my personality style, all those different things that are about me. When I'm living that most authentic version of me and pursuing that mission, that's my mountaintop.
I love that. That's fantastic. Any last words of wisdom or inspiration you want to share with our listeners?
I would say make sure you have a vision for your life, because that's that compelling thing that draws you forward. Even if it's just 1 year from now, how do you want life to be different in your relationships, in your finances, in your business, in your fitness? Whatever that is, have that always in front of you. And then you can, of course, reverse engineer goals to get to that. But then you'll never stay stagnant. You'll never get complacent, because you have that shining North Star for you to look toward.
I love it. Fantastic. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. Paul Casey, thank you very much. This is Jake Ballantyne with Mountaintop Motivation. And always remember, I will see you at the top. Paul, we have a tradition here. We end each one of these interviews with a virtual fist bump. So bring it up right here. Here you go. Boom.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something great out of it. And most importantly, I hope that you're going to implement something that you learned in this episode, because nothing happens until you take action. If you're a 6 or 7 figure entrepreneur who's looking to uplevel your network with a group of people who also have a rising tide lifts all boats attitude, then come and join our exclusive network of successful entrepreneurs by going to mtmsuccess.com/risingtide.